ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 30 एंटाइटल्ड डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ एडवर्स फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज वर्स नंबर 5। नरकस्तो विदेहं वै नपुंसां त्यक्तुमिच्छति नारक्यं निर्वृतौ सत्यां देवमाया विमोहितः। नरकस्तो विदेहं वै नपुंसां त्यक्तुमिच्छति नारक्यां निर्वृतौ सत्यां देवमाया विमोहितः। नरकस्थो विदेहं वै नपुंसां त्यक्तुमिच्छति नारक्यां निर्वृतौ सत्यां देवमाया विमोहितः। Word to word translation: Naraka, in hell. Staha, situated. Api, even. Deham, body. Why? Indeed. Na, not. Puman, person. Tyaktum, to leave. Ichhati, wishes. Narakyam, hellish. Nirvato, enjoyment. Satyam, when existing. Devamaya, by the illusory energy of Vishnu. Vimohitaha, deluded. Translation: the conditioned living entity is satisfied in his own particular species of life, while deluded by the covering influence of the illusory energy. He feels little inclined to cast off his body, even when in hell, for he takes delight in hellish enjoyment. Purport by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. It is said that once Indra, the king of heaven, was cursed by his spiritual master Brihaspati on account of his misbehavior, and he became a hog in this planet. After many days, when Brahma wanted to recall him to his heavenly kingdom, Indra, in the form of a hog, forgot everything of his royal position in the heavenly kingdom, and he refused to go back. This is the spell of Maya. Even Indra forgets his heavenly standard of life and is satisfied with the standard of a hog's life. By the influence of Maya, the conditioned soul becomes so affectionate towards his particular type of body that if he is offered, "Give up this body and immediately you will have a king's body," he will not agree. This attachment strongly affects all conditioned living entities. Lord Krishna is personally canvassing, "Give up everything in this material world. Come to me and I shall give you all protection." But we are not agreeable. We think we are quite all right. Why should we surrender unto Krishna and go back to his kingdom? This is called illusion or Maya. Everyone is satisfied with his standard of living, however abominable it may be. I think we will explain on this purport. Also, I will read the next, because yesterday Prabhu spoke elaborately on this particular pastime. So I will read the next verse also. Atmajaya sutagara pashu dravina bandhushu niruthamula hridaya atmanam bahumanyate. Such satisfaction with one's standard of living is due to deep-rooted attraction for body, wife, home, children, animals, wealth, and friends. In such association, the conditioned soul thinks himself quite perfect. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The so-called perfection of human life is a concoction. Therefore, it is said that the materialist, however materially qualified he may be, is worthless because he is hovering on the mental plane, which will drag him again to the material existence of temporary life. One who acts on the mental plane cannot get promotion to the spiritual. Such a person is always sure to glide down again to material life. In the association of so-called society, friendship, and love, the conditioned soul appears completely satisfied. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamuhyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांदा राधा कांदा नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे महाद्भिर्य इमा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुंक्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोलंकृशिष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण. सो दिस चैप्टर इज वेरी डिस्क्रिप्टिव ऑफ द एडवर्स इफेक्ट्स ऑफ फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज. सो द मेटीरियल वर्ल्ड इज प्रैक्टिकली प्रोक्लाइमिंग द adverse effects of fruitive activities. However, we fail to see that. So out of compassion, the Lord Kapila Dev is showing the adverse effects of fruitive activities or material activities. Here, in the verse number 5, we can see that in any condition of life, one is satisfied. Even in hell. And that's why here the example of Indra is given. Indra's position, how can we imagine the position of Indra? How much opulence he has. He's associating with beautiful women who are so beautiful that one can get fainted just by the vision of Apsaras. And if you see Urvashi, Menaka, Rambha, Tilottama, very attractive. And Indra is enjoying in that standard, and he has great food which cannot be compared to earthly food. It is said that when the heavenly people, when they come to the material world, the human stinks. We don't have actually good fragrance. You know, we may use deodorant or this or that, but human smell, it stinks for the heavenly residents. So this is the opulence of heaven. And think of
this Indra becoming a hawk and he is completely being attached to the mud and the stool. How can we think about it? You know, this is material conditioning. This is material conditioning and everything looks very normal. Everything looks very normal. It is just conditioning. One devotee, he went to India. He moved from Australia to India and he was staying for some time. So another person asked this devotee, how do you find it comfortable living in India? Because, you know, there is a bit of a difference, right? India, sometimes you open the tap, water will not come. If you turn on the switch for the light, light will not turn on. So infrastructure-wise, it is pretty different than living in a Western city, especially Melbourne, the most livable city. Now he said, initially it was difficult, but after some time I got used to it. So if you can move from any material condition to any other material condition, but one may get used to it. And one thinks it is all right. This is an example of pastime of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he sent some of his best disciples to Burma. Burma is Myanmar, right? Myanmar? Yeah. Burma. So they went there and they were cooking a feast. So they were cooking puri and sabji and halwa and other preparations and very good rice. Rice, puri, sabji, rice, everything cooked in ghee. And there was a big complaint from the neighborhood. We can't really stand the smell. The smell is too bad. This is the smell of ghee. You know, we can't live with this. Can you please go somewhere else and cook? Why? Because they are used to a particular preparation that is very common. That is a delicacy of Burma. I can't remember the name. But it is made of fish. So they have a clay pot in that they put the fish. And if there is another some other leftover fish, they again put in the same clay pot. And they allow this fish to be fermented for 3 years. So after that, it turns into a cream or a liquid. And that sauce is a delicacy in Burma. So they are so used to this particular, you know, fermented fish delicacy that they couldn't stand the smell of or fragrance of ghee. So this is called material conditioning. If somebody is used to something and something different becomes so difficult. So if somebody is accustomed to the mode of ignorance, then the goodness becomes so difficult. So then they had to change the preaching strategy, I think. They had to come, make them a little bit come to the mode of goodness before they can give them halwa. See? At least we don't have that problem, right? We can straight away go for the halwa. We are not that much in ignorance that we don't like a halwa. So this is, you know, any, as the last line of this purport says, the fifth chapter, everyone is satisfied with the standard of living, however abominable it may be. So this is conditioning. So we know, we were also used to many kinds of abominable foodstuff, right? Different kinds of abominable foodstuff, different kinds of drinks, different kinds of habit. If you look back, they are very abominable, right? So if you come to the mode of goodness and beyond, then they actually look abominable. So we have some experience in this, and it is very important to see that. Otherwise, what are we gaining in Krishna consciousness? So for a devotee, has to experience Krishna consciousness. We have to see how we are affected by the modes and how we are elevating through the material modes and how we are actually touching the transcendence. How we are getting pleasure in serving Krishna, in hearing about Krishna, etc. So this is an experience. Krishna consciousness is an experience. We have feeling. And next, Srila Prabhupada talks about, and the whole verse is talking about, how one can be deeply attached to one's own body, family, etc. and friends, etc. wealth. One can be so attached. It is applicable to everyone. In fact, the word stri, stri means wife or female. This is the, so the word stri has a verb. Okay, stri is a noun, but it has a verb. It is called strnoti. Strnoti. Strnoti means to expand. To expand. So, if you see life of a single man, even materially, not necessarily a devotee, if you see life of a single man, it is fairly simple. You know, just ready to live here or there, doesn't really matter, generally speaking. Now, what happens if one gets married? Right? It is called strnoti, it's the reality. One needs a house. And even a couple is okay, one needs some expansion. Then one, what happens when one, there is a one kid? Right? One may think that, you know, a kid is so small. Right? You know, if you, a baby is born so small. But for that, if one has one bedroom house, one will go to either three bedroom house or four bedroom house. Right? One has to go to western suburb to get a house. Yeah, that's how it works. That is the standard package. It's a package deal. Why? Because baby is small, but so much of paraphernalia. So the need increases. Right? The need increases. It's a reality. That's how it is. That is trinoti. It expands. So, it's okay. One need more stuff. That is alright. However, one can come to a point where, as it is mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, that is called Atyahara Prayashasta. And what is the next? Prajalpa Niyamagraha. What is that? Janasangasya Lavulyamscha. What? Last, what is the last word is very important. Shadbhir Bhaktir Vinashyati. So this is the, there are the six items through which we can destroy our bhakti. So one can come to the point where one is in Atyahara and Prayasa. Atyahara means overeating. That's a common problem. But more than that, Prayasa is also there. That's over-collecting and over-endeavoring. So Prabhupada doesn't say Atyahara, it's not just eating, it's over-collecting. And Prayasa is over-endeavoring. So we have to be very careful that we are not really over-endeavoring. And we may come to justification. If we over-endeavor and if we collecting, what is our justification? In our philosophy, there is justification for everything. It's called Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means, Yukta means it has to be connected to Krishna. Then Vairagya means detachment. So we can use everything if it is connected to Krishna and if we are detached from that, any material object. But it goes other way around. It's not connected to Krishna because we don't remember Krishna because there is no time. And there is no Vairagya because we are already attached. Say for example, if I get a new laptop, I can say I'm going to use it in Krishna service. At the same time, we had to see, am I simply attached to that particular object? Or is it a means for me to serve Krishna? So one can say, I have a BMW. Because why? Because I have to take Maharaj, I have to take devotees. Is that the real reason? Or I really like it and I want to show off to people. So this is called Yukta Vairagya. We have to understand the real meaning of Yukta Vairagya. So one has to be very careful about Atyahara and Prayasa in one's life. It is very significant. Then we may get initiated. There are devotees who are initiated. But it doesn't really matter. Initiated people may get initiated for a wrong reason. To be part of the club. To be part of, because of the social pressure. If you are around for 2-3 years, 3-4 years chanting, then people do ask, you know, are you who is your Guru Maharaj? Oh no, I'm not yet sheltered, I'm not yet initiated. So there is a pressure. Really, there is a pressure. Then out of peer pressure, one may get initiated. And then there is no real interest to make spiritual progress. So then the chanting becomes just a compliance chanting. Because it is called, what is the name of this kind of chanting? Anyone knows the name? If you are just chanting for the sake of chanting. Anyone knows? It is Niyamagraha. Correct? This is Niyamagraha. People ask, can you give me an example of Niyamagraha? This is an example of Niyamagraha. One devotee asking, what is the example of Niyamagraha? If you are doing devotional service for or following the rules and regulations just for the sake of doing it, it is called Niyamagraha. And if you are not doing it at all, then it's called Niyamakshama. So both are there. So nectar of instruction wants us to get out from this kind of mentality. Because what happens is, whatever our mind is attached to, we have an attachment to something, or at least at a given point in time, or in a given season, there can be one attachment, one particular thing that is going on in our mind. Then while chanting, while doing devotional service, this is going to be the main thing that is running around in our mind. Say for example, if I am worried about career progress, then while chanting, what one thinks? About the same thing. So whatever is in the forefront, what is the deepest attachment, that is the one actually coming forth when we are trying to engage in Krishna consciousness. So one will have to check that. It is so important for our spiritual progress. So how do we know that we are not over-endeavoring? Just now, just a few days back, Chiranjeevi Prabhu gave a good point to evaluate, are we over-endeavoring or not, quoting Devamrita Maharaj. He mentioned it's a very good point, that is, we know whether we are over-endeavoring or not in our life, looking at the quality of our chanting. The moment we see that the quality of our chanting is deteriorating, then we need to understand that we are over-endeavoring. Then we need to be alarmed and we need to take the necessary steps. Otherwise, it's always going to go down. And I have spoken to many devotees, and many devotees have spoken the same thing. They can be within Brahmacharya Ashram or outside of Brahmacharya Ashram. This principle is applicable everywhere. Not just in the Grihastha community. In the Brahmachari community, the same thing is there, where the quality of rounds goes down. So one has to be quite careful, because you know, otherwise, what is the whole purpose of our Krishna consciousness if we cannot chant properly? Now, we talked about Atyahara and Prayasa. In our collecting principle, I remember this principle that is given by Kadambakanda Maharaj. It is very well applicable to Brahmacharis. He says, every 6 months, you have to take a stock take of your cupboard, of your possessions. So if you see anything which is not used for past 6 months, ensure that you are not going to use it, either throw away or give away. It's a good principle. So even we have to think about the principle of over-collecting, how we can avoid it. It's very important for Brahmacharis. And for Grihasthas, can accumulate, but at the same time there is some limit. It's not that we shouldn't really imitate the karmis who have so many storage rooms. You know, they can hire storage rooms one after another. We are accumulating so much that our monthly bill that increases just for storage. So one has to be careful that we are not too much over collecting. And ultimately, we have to come to the conclusion, we have to come to the realization that if we really want to be happy and satisfied, it is through reading about Krishna, chanting his names and serving him, we can get all satisfaction. We can become happy just by doing this. We had to come to this conclusion and we had to realize this. So it's not just a point of preaching, but we need to realize that reading about Krishna and chanting Krishna's name is the solution to all the problems. If we actually realize, it is a varying degree of realization, but we have to come to this realization to go strong in any of the ashrams. Say for example, for a brahmachari, he has to do proper sadhana, he has to read, he has to do service, he has to chant properly, that one can come to this conclusion. One can realize that even though I may be facing some problems, but still the real solution is hearing and chanting. And with this, I can see that there is a change in consciousness. If we really want real enjoyment, that is in hearing and chanting. If one can come to this conclusion, then it is very healthy. So one is happy hearing about Krishna, chanting and serving, and one is happy, that is called a happy brahmachari. And people say, you know, or many devotees, senior Vaishnavas ask the devotee, no matter who, how are you? Are you happy in your Krishna consciousness? Have you heard this question? Are you happy in your Krishna consciousness? The reason is, if you are practicing Krishna consciousness properly, then you will become happy. Susukham kartum avyayam. That's the nature, the very nature of Krishna consciousness. So if we are not happy in our Krishna consciousness, then we have to see, where am I lacking in my Krishna consciousness? If you are doing properly Krishna consciousness, whatever it is, whichever ashram it is, one has to be happy. And all ashrams have their own responsibility. In Brahmachari ashram, it is actually showing that it is possible to exclusively focus on Krishna service and sadhana. And by that, one can become happy. One can be emotionally and intellectually satisfied simply by serving Krishna, hearing about Krishna and chanting Krishna's names. So one has to actually, it's a proof, that is the preaching. A brahmachari's actual preaching is living a life of a brahmachari and showing that it is possible to be happy simply by serving Krishna. So this is the realization we have to come up to. And if not, as it is mentioned, it's not that everyone is going to stay brahmachari for all the time. But it is mentioned, how a first class grihastha is generated. A brahmachari, if he thinks that, okay, this is the highest, I can just serve Krishna, I can chant and hear, I can be happy, that's the best. But due to my conditioning, it's not possible. If one thinks like that, and if one understands that, okay, I have to take it to grihastha ashram, it is fine. But one is clear that there is going to be more trouble. There is going to be more needs, there are going to be more demands from the material energy. There is going to be. And despite, because of my conditioning, I need a change. So he understands that there is a change required, but one is willing to do that for progressive path in Krishna consciousness. So that is considered a first class grihastha. And who is second class? He said, brahmachari is thinking that here there is no enjoyment. It's complete suffering. Too much getting up in the morning, too much service, what is his hearing, what is his chanting, everything is going on. I just want to get out from the situation because there is a lot of enjoyment out there. I want to compensate for whatever I lacked in the ashram. If one thinks like that is, if someone becomes a grihastha in this motivation, it is called a second class grihastha. The motivation is enjoyment things. Then if he is sincere, he or she is sincere, then the good thing is Krishna gives enough slapping and come to the conclusion that, oh no, it was not right. And then there is a third class also. Third class is lamenting that I wasted my 2-3 years in the Brahmachari ashram. I could have made so much of money. I could have made a fortune out of that time. So I wasted my time in the ashram. There are people like that. Don't worry. This is a common thing. I wasted my time in the Brahmachari ashram. What is this? I could have made so much of money. I could have settled in my life. So this is third class. You understand? So there are different consciousness. Even when one is approaching grihastha ashram. So a brahmachari ultimately should have this realization that by hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving Krishna, it is a solution to all the problems and I am happy in the situation. And for a grihastha can do big preaching because grihastha has to deal with the family. He has wife, kids, then has to deal with the boss, right? With the mortgage, with the real estate agent, right? He has to deal with everything. But after dealing with everything, he also or she also has to come to the same conclusion. What is that? The real solution to the problem is hearing and chanting my Krishna consciousness. It is not anything else. Okay, of course, I have to work. I have to maintain the family. I have to do everything. But ultimate satisfaction is simply serving Krishna. And everyone else connected to me is nothing but they are also part and parcel of Krishna. So one gets a deeper connection to one's own family. So it is opposite to that is mentioned in this verse, which is for a materialist, but for a devotee it is different. And a family has to come to the husband has to come to the conclusion that for my complete emotional satisfaction or support, it is not the complete duty of the wife. It is given by Krishna. Wife has to come to the conclusion, my support and satisfaction, my emotional well-being ultimately is taken care by Krishna. That is through the process of hearing and chanting. Similarly, the parents has to conclude that we cannot expect everything from the kids. We give our best to the kids, but our complete satisfaction is by satisfying Krishna. ultimate support, ultimate everything is actually Krishna. So one has to realize this point. So gradually one has to come to this conclusion, whichever ashram one is, whether grihastha, brahmachari, whatever. One has to come to the conclusion that our satisfaction, our pleasure is completely dependent on Krishna's. This is very clear. It is very clear. And it's, Krishna consciousness, despite different ashram, is an opportunity to realize that. So the more we realize this point, we will become happy. Grihastha is never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough accumulating. There's never a time it's enough. Mind will never say it's enough. Always there will be, you know, if that happens, what will happen to me? If that calamity comes, I need the saving. There's no end to it. But if one takes shelter of Krishna, one actually hears, chants and reads about Krishna and serve Krishna, then one will naturally will come to this conclusion. It's gradual and it's natural if it is sincere. So, talking about this, I will talk a little bit about reading Srila Prabhupada's books, which is very important. It is important for all ashrams, whether one is a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Reading Srila Prabhupada's books is so important to maintain and nourish our Krishna consciousness. So much so that Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to continue as a devotee, then you have to read my books regularly. Prabhupada said, if one is not regularly reading his books, then one is not going to stay as a devotee. Because it is not a sprint. Krishna consciousness is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long term. Initially, everyone has enthusiasm. I'm not going to fall down. I'm going to go up, high like this. But it doesn't happen like that. There will be ups and downs. Even one can see in one's own consciousness, there will be ups and downs. Generally, the progress in Krishna consciousness, there can be an upward graph, but in this upward graph, there will be ups and downs within. We can see that. Generally, one can see one's bhakti is progressing in general, but if you observe instantaneously, there will be ups and downs. But overall, it is going up, or at least ideally, it is meant to be like that. See? So now, if you want to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, then we need to focus on reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So there is, I recently listened, just 2 days back, a lecture called The Tree of Life by Sachinandan Maharaj. So it's a seminar. So he very importantly mentioned about reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and I would like to share. He mentioned that if we are regularly reading Prabhupada's books, then we develop inner strength. So it is inner spiritual strength called virya. If we have regularly read for Srila Prabhupada's books for some time, and if we have developed that meditation, that experience, and if you stop, then you can very clearly see something happened to us. Have you noticed that? Something happened. Something is missing. Some strength is gone away. So that is called virya. So the real virya is in reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So this is very, very important. And I was speaking to a devotee who has cultivated many, many Western devotees. Westerners coming from very wild background. They have joined the ashram. Not Brahmacharya ashram, but an ashram where they get shelter and they are given a couple of years time to build themselves as devotees and then choose an ashram appropriately. So this devotee told that for all these boys, he was mainly taking care of young men. He insisted that everyone reads the book 2 hours a day. He said for these boys, if they read Srila Prabhupada's books for 2 hours a day, then most of their mental problems are solved automatically. Can you see that? If we read Srila Prabhupada's books 2 hours a day, because that means there is definitely an absorption. Just like chanting, we get some absorption, right? If we keep chanting, maybe initially we may be thinking so many things, but in due course of time, at least meant to be, that we get some absorption. And if we are fortunate, we get absorption right from the beginning, round after round. But if not, at least one gets some absorption towards the end of chanting, right? So in the same way, reading also the same principle applies. We need our mind to get attuned to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, knowledge of Krishna's instructions and Krishna's pastimes. So when that happens, then definitely there is a change in our consciousness. So it's a very important principle that we take our reading quite seriously. Then if we read, what happens? Then we come to the next stage. That is called, from virya, one come to the stage of smriti. Smriti means remembrance. So when we read, we are able to remember Srila Prabhupada's books. Okay, Prabhupada said like this. It's a very interesting thing about reading that we might have heard many points in the lectures, right? However, if we read the same point, then it's a confirmation and we tend to act on that point more seriously. So that's where the importance of reading is. One can listen all the time, which is good, we get the knowledge, but as we read Srila Prabhupada's books, it's a confirmation, then we tend to act on that point. So it's very important that we read Srila Prabhupada's books. So, and again, even reading is also, it involves some evolution. That is, initially, when we start reading books, we are focusing on knowledge acquisition. What is the, you know, what are the different points in Srila Prabhupada, in Bhagavatam? How is creation? Which are the different Vishnus? It is more focused on acquisition of knowledge. It is more focused on information, which is very important. We need to know what is there in the book, so we may have to study systematically. Say, if you see Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, it gives systematic presentation of Shastra, so that we come to the stage of first come to Virya and then Smriti, in which we remember different teachings, then we remember different verses. So this is one stage. Next, it is called Pragya. Pragya means we are seeing through the Shastra. Seeing through the Shastra. Now, here there is a very important point that initially we read for information or knowledge. Then after some time, we start reading for our feeling. We feel Krishna in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It is very important that when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we see how compassionate Krishna is. What are the qualities of Krishna? Say, for example, if we read through these verses, we can see that Krishna is kindly helping us to understand how troublesome the material existence is. So Krishna is putting so much of effort in the form of Kapiladeva. So we tend to see that who is speaking behind and what is the ultimate message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is helping us to connect to Krishna. So it is not just acquisition of knowledge or information. Rather, there is an experience in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And we need that. It is very important that we have an experience in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not just intellectualization, but our emotions are involved in Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, great devotees like Sanatan Goswami, they relish Srimad Bhagavatam so much so that their whole life, whole emotions, whole existence is based on Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll read a few verses on the realization of Srila Sanatan Goswami given at the end of Krishna Lila Stava. It's a very amazing verse, and some translation. You can hear, I'll just read these verses along with the translation. So then we can understand what consciousness in which Sanatan Goswami is reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sarva-shastra-adipi-yusha, sarva-vedeka-sadphala, sarva-siddhanta-ratnaya, sarva-lokeka-drukpata, Rimada-bhagavat-pramo, Srimad-bhagavat-vapramo, Kalithavadidadita, Shri-Krishna-parivartita. O Srimad-bhagavatam, O nectar, churned from the ocean of all Vedic scripture. O most prominent, transcendental fruit of all Vedas. O you, who are enriched with the jewel of all spiritual philosophical conclusions. O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world. O life breath of Vaishnava devotees. O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel darkness of the Kali Yuga. Paramananda Pathaya Pe Prema Varshaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer respectful obeisances unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Madega bandho mat sangit madguro man mahathana man nishtaraga mad bhagya madananda namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer respectful obeisances unto you. Next verse is even nicer. Asathu sathu dadain atinicho chataraka hanamutakadajin premnahrit kanthayospura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So it is amazing, and I'll give you a practical tip. We get realization if we continuously read Bhagavatam. If you think about Srimad Bhagavatam verses, then we get the realization that Bhagavatam is our friend, Bhagavatam is our companion, and we can get the real pleasure by hearing and thinking about Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I'll give you a practical suggestion. How long it takes to finish read, at least first part is reading, so read entire Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read 41 verses a day of Srimad Bhagavatam, in 1 year you can complete entire Srimad Bhagavatam, 18 volumes, 12 cantos. 41 verses a day, you can finish entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Second, if you can't make it 41, then you can take 2 year approach. At least read 20 verses, or around 20 verses a day. Then in 2 years you can complete entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you can read it again, right? So this is the point. One time I was reading the offering of Keshav Bharati Maharaj. He took a vow to Srila Prabhupada that I will read every day 41 pages of Srila Prabhupada's books. So he was reading mainly Srimad Bhagavatam, so that entire Bhagavatam he was reading every year, one cycle per year. And his vow was, I will read it aloud. 41 pages, not in the mind, aloud, so that he can listen. So see, Keshav Bharati Maharaj is a realized soul, very advanced Vaishnava. He is the editor of many books, including Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And he is now, at this age, he has taken rest of my life, I'll read every day 41 pages of Srila Prabhupada's books. And primarily he is reading Bhagavatam and finishing entire Bhagavatam every year, and everything else is additional reading. Can you see? This is the dedication to Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, I'll finish off with a pastime. Yesterday was the disappearance of Abhiram Thakur. So I will briefly narrate the pastime of Abhiram Thakur, who is an eternal associate of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who was present both in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Mahaprabhu. So it is said, one time Krishna, Balaram and all the cowherd boys were playing hide and seek. So they were playing hide and seek around Govardhan. Think about that, such an amazing place, right? They were playing hide and seek around Govardhan. Because Govardhan is so beautiful, there are so many trees, there are so many caves to hide. So one day, Sridham, one of the prime cowherd boys, went inside the cave and he hid himself in the cave. And he was hiding and no one could find Sridham. And after some time, all the cowherd boys, Krishna, Balaram, they all forgot about Sridham. And time came, Krishna, Balaram, they actually folded their pastime and they went back to the spiritual abode. So there was no Krishna's pastime taking place anymore in Govardhan or in Vrindavan. However, Sridham was hiding in the cave in Govardhan. And he was just waiting. He was thinking, Krishna will come, Balaram will come, somebody is going to
find me. But no one came. Then one time, Mahaprabhu was performing. So time came. So Dwaparayuga, it was end of Dwaparayuga. Dwaparayuga finished. Kali Yuga started just 500 years back. That is about, you know, 4,000 years later. Mahaprabhu was enacting his pastime and he was thinking. Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they started thinking, where is Sridham? They couldn't, because Sridham is supposed to join them in Sankirtan Mela, in Sankirtan pastime. And Sridham was not there. So Mahaprabhu started feeling, where is Sridham? Where is he gone? Then he told Nityananda Prabhu. Oh, then they remembered. We left him in the previous pastime in Govardhan. So Nityananda Prabhu took the charge and he went to Govardhan from Navadvip. From Nadia he went all the way to Govardhan. And he started calling out loudly, Sridham, Sridham, Sridham. Then from one cave, Sridham could hear, somebody is calling me. So he actually came out from the cave. When Sridham came out from the cave, he saw Nityananda Prabhu, but he couldn't recognize Nityananda Prabhu because of two reasons. One, his form was completely different. He was not at all looking like Lord Balaram. His dress was different. His costumes, attire was completely different. And also, he was very short because Sridham was very tall, maybe 18 feet high. And Nityananda Prabhu, maybe 7 or 8 feet. So there was a huge difference. So Sridham was looking at Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, he is claiming, I am the same Balaram. So Sridham said, no, there is some difference. Look, you are so short, it's so small. So I can believe you that you are Lord Balaram, because we were always playing, I am known to be best runner. And we both, me and Balaram, are like two hands, equal. So if I run, then you should be able to chase me and catch me. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, no problem. You can run, I will catch you. So Sridham, he was tall. He started circumambulating Govardhan. And Nityananda Prabhu running behind him. So first circle finished. Nityananda Prabhu couldn't catch him. Second, nothing happened. Third, nothing happened. Fourth, Sridham found that dhoti was getting a bit loose. Then he was, we know, like kirtan, sometimes dhoti becomes a bit loose. Then we become very self-aware. We will look around what's happening, is anyone seeing? So just he turned and looked. Then he saw that Nityananda Prabhu was very close. That at that point, Nityananda Prabhu just caught him. Then he caught him and then he understood, he must be Lord Balaram. No one else can catch me. So he understood. He had a complete conviction that, Lord Nityananda is non-different from Lord Balaram. Then he wanted to join Mahaprabhu's pastime. So he wanted to join Mahaprabhu's pastime. And it said he met Mahaprabhu. And then he said, we had to do the Sankirtan together. We had to chant and dance together. Then he told Abhiram Thakur that we have to be friends now. Then he understood. Then his size was reduced to normal size. And then Mahaprabhu named him, now onwards, Sridham, you will be known in my party as Abhiram. So that's how Abhiram Thakur was not born, joined the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So it is said, Abhiram Thakur didn't have any material parents. No parents. Because he's coming from, he's Sridham, and he transformed to Abhiram Thakur. And he was so powerful because he is an associate of the Lord who has already enacted Krishna's pastime, and now in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastime. He was so powerful that if he pays obeisances to anyone, there is a devastating impact. Probably, mostly, they will die. If Abhiram Thakur pays obeisances to any Jiva Tattva, means any living entity, that living entity would die. Serious. So Nityananda Prabhu had his first son. So he had his first son and Abhiram Thakur was very happy. He said, I want to see your son. So Nityananda Prabhu said, come. Then he came and he paid prostrated obeisances in front of the first son of Lord Nityananda. Immediately, Lord Nityananda's son passed away. So everyone became very remorseful. What's going on? And again it is said, next one time like that, another son was also born, and Abhiram Thakur paid obeisances, and that son also passed away. Everyone became very careful. All the parents became very careful about Abhiram Thakur, because if Abhiram Thakur comes and pays obeisances, means gone, finished. Then finally, Lord Nityananda had a son. His name was Veerabhadra or Veerachandra. The same name. Veerachandra is the name of Veerabhadra, Lord Nityananda's son. And this time, Abhiram Thakur showed up again. And everyone was very much scared. What's going to happen? He came in front of Veerabhadra and paid prostrated obeisances. This time nothing happened. So Abhiram Thakur became very happy. He said, this time you couldn't cheat me. This time you couldn't deceive me. Because the Lord himself has appeared as Veerabhadra. So why Abhiram Thakur was paying obeisances to different sons of Lord Nityananda? Because he wanted his expansion to appear as his son. He wanted Lord Nityananda's expansion to appear as his son. So Abhiram Thakur wanted to see that. So when Veerabhadra appeared, then nothing happened. So Veerabhadra is said to be an expansion of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. It's an expansion, it's part of quadruple expansion, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So that's why nothing happened to him. Then it is said, he wanted to see another person. His name is Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur, who is a very famous devotee, son of Mukunda, right? Very famous, Raghunandan Thakur, because even as a child, he had more devotion than his father. That's why in front of Mahaprabhu went Raghunandan and Mukunda, both of them went to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu asked, Mukunda, who is father, who is son? Then Mukunda told, he is my father and I am his son, devotionally. Because he taught me what is real devotion, what is real spontaneous devotion that can attract the Lord. Because when Raghunandan offered bhoga to the Lord, Lord personally came and ate. So that is Raghunandan and Mukunda. So here, Mukunda became completely scared. He was thinking, now Abhiram Thakur is coming and he is telling, I want to see your son. So finished. So Mukunda became completely in anxiety, what's going to happen to my son? Because he has parental affection. There is no point saying, no, Krishna has come or not, but now Abhiram Thakur is such a great devotee, he's going to pay obeisances. And what's going to happen to my son? So he said, no, my son is not here. Please go away. Later, you can come later. Now son is not here, he is not here. You know, you go away. Raghunandan is not here, you go away. So Abhiram Thakur was very much disappointed. He left. And later, our Raghunandan Thakur, he found out that Abhiram Thakur had come to meet him. He said, I want to meet Abhiram Thakur. He ran to meet Abhiram Thakur. And on the way, he caught up with Abhiram Thakur. And both of them embraced. They paid obeisances. Nothing happened. Why nothing happened? It is said that Raghunandan Thakur was Pradyumna, expansion of Pradyumna. He is also part of quadruple. So here all the Vishnu Tattvas are playing. Okay? So nothing happened. One quadruple expansion of the Lord is paying obeisance to another quadruple expansion of the Lord. So nothing happened. They embraced and danced. So this is Raghunandan Das Thakur and Abhiram Thakur. So this is the great devotees who are Supreme Lord himself. Then he also had Jayamangal. Jayamangal, that is a whip. If Abhiram Thakur, if he hits anyone with that whip, then what happens? They get Krishna Prem. So one time, Malini Devi brought Srinivas Acharya as a young boy in front of Abhiram Thakur. And he took his whip and started beating. 1, 2, 3. And Malini Devi said, please stop, my son will die if you hit him like this. Meanwhile, Srinivas Acharya, he was in ecstasy. He was completely covered in Krishna Prem. So this is the greatness of Abhiram Thakur. It's also mentioned, if he pays obeisances to any deity, if it's not properly installed, or if it's not Saligram Shila, that deity will crack open. So this is the power of Abhiram Thakur. So yesterday was the disappearance of Abhiram Thakur. So we pray to Abhiram Thakur to give us some devotion to Krishna. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned about atyara.
Yeah.
So, over collecting animals, like specifically birds, they only take how much they want, and they don't like over collect like human beings. So, in that sense, aren't the animals more, even in ignorance, they are dependent on
Krishna? They are not dependent on Krishna, they are dependent on their instincts, their swabhava. So that's why they are not over-collecting. So they get what they are eating and they leave it. Whereas we have developed advanced intelligence which we are misusing for over-collecting. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada writes, if a bird, if you throw a sack of rice, grains, what happens? Bird comes, eat, fill the belly and go away. Humans, what we do? Go first, take the whole sack full and we'll take it away, the whole thing. One person is enough to cover the whole thing. So that's the difference. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
We said that everybody is happy in their situation, whatever situation they are in. At the same time, we find that many people are trying to progress further.
That's right.
And so they are not satisfied in their existing situation. And they still want to have more of Brahmachari wants to become a Rasta, and Rasta wants to become Sannyasi, Sannyasi wants to become a Guru.
If we are not satisfied in the position, then we need to understand that we lack Krishna consciousness. That's the only thing we need to understand. Whichever position we are in, if we are not satisfied in serving Krishna, then we have to understand. If we are looking for a position, means it's a material desire. If we really relish Krishna consciousness, if we really relish chanting about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, then that becomes weakened. The desire for position becomes very weak and slackened. And we need to experience that. It's very important. Only attraction for Krishna can slacken the desire for position. So one has to be quite mindful if you are desiring positions. Position may come for service, but attachment to position is material desire.
But then the question is, how come the Krishna's Maya potency is not covering everybody to be happy in their situation?
Okay, if you are talking about, this is talking about devotees, where we have the desire for position, and why it is because of lacking of Krishna consciousness. However, if you are talking about the material nature, suppose if we are in any species or anything, we are satisfied. It is not the satisfaction that we are completely contented, that we don't need anything more. We need betterment in the given position. Say, for example, a human being is not thinking that immediately, generally, if you consider a general human being, he's not suddenly thinking that, okay, I had to go to the heavenly planet, so I had to perform some austerities to go to the heavenly planet. That is a little bit more advanced. Generally, what he's thinking, I'm a human being, I'm living here, I need more money. Look at the person opposite to me. So I need more money. I can be better off. So we, in that position, we are actually restricted. Understand? So in the given position, one may be fine as a human being. He is not going to think that anything beyond is there. First of all, there is no faith to have belief. But as a human being, one is thinking, I ought to be, or as an Australian citizen, one may think, I'm an Australian. Nice country, beautiful country. Only thing, I want to more facilities, more riches. So that's why it is called Avarnatmika and Prakshepatmika. A couple of verses before it came, the Maya's covering potency. That is, Maya gives something, you know, okay, I want something more. So one goes to that, and in between there is slapping. There is covering and slapping. If somebody covers our head and keeps slapping, it's very difficult. So Maya is like that. So this is the potency of Maya. It has its covering potency and it has slapping potency also. Or sometimes it is called the pulling down potency.
Throwing potency.
So it is there. So it is not like the, when we are saying it is satisfied, it's not the ultimate satisfaction we are talking about. One is, in the sense, one wants to be in the material suffering. Actually, if one is trying for further material enjoyment, one is actually trying for more misery, if you really see from a Krishna conscious point of view. One is not really trying to get out from that situation. In that sense, one is trapped and one is okay with that. Otherwise, why are we in the material world? We feel we are okay with that. We are fine with it. Even as devotees, we feel it's okay. So that's the point. Okay. Yes, Madhuji.
In this Gopal, it's mentioned that right?
Yeah.
So how come he's enjoying the hellish planet?
Yeah, when we try to understand the point, what is hellish enjoyment? Hellish enjoyment is here. I'll tell about hellish planets as well as here also. Hellish enjoyment is here in the material world. Here in the earth, we have hellish enjoyment. Breaking all the four regulative principles, they are actually hellish enjoyment, even within here. We think it's actually as enjoyment, right? You know, it is considered as enjoyment. However, they are actually devilish enjoyment. It is hellish enjoyment. And at the same time, there are hellish planets. You know, there are bila sorgas. Bila means hall. It's below. So it's below, bila sorga. In bila sorga, there is enjoyment. There are enjoyment in the material, in the lower planetary system. Sometimes it is considered, it is even more opulent than what we see here. It is much more opulent. But the point is, there is no Krishna. There is no service to Krishna. So that is, one may feel happy. There is one part of the hellish region, the lower planetary system, where people will be enjoying, and at one point, the Lord Sudarshan Chakra comes in the form of time and cuts everyone, kills everyone. All the enjoyment just goes like that. So there are different places, different kinds of hellish places. One finds everything is okay. Yes, Madhuri. That's right. It's not only that girl, we can, at least we can look into our own life and we can see how we were suffering without Krishna consciousness. Yes, yeah, we were actually.
Sometimes they're conscious that they're suffering.
That's right, yeah.
She will say, I'm suffering, but she said, I was not even aware that I was suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, we can see actually. I personally feel I was not realized that I was suffering before coming to Krishna consciousness. Many times, yeah, things are okay. This is the, you know, people usually say, no, this is the way of life. This is how it is. This is actually justifying our suffering. And that's how it is meant to be. It is not meant to be like that. So, yeah, thank you.
So it's meant to be suffering.
There is some material enjoyment. That's what Prabhu writes in Bhagavad Gita purport, that this enjoyment is the real enemy of the living entity. The so-called enjoyment, little bit, it is that is the real enemy of the living entity, because the living entity thinks that, okay, it is worth going through all this turmoil to get a little bit of that pleasure. So that is, you know, that is the covering. You know, we know the story, I don't want to get into the story, where the honey is, one is going through the everything, and when the honey is, you know, one by one, you know, oozing out from the honeycomb, then one is, because of that drop, is forgetting everything. Covered, this avarnatmika, the maya is covering everything. One is going through, you know, up there is in the bottom of the well, up there is a tiger waiting to eat. Down there is a snake ready to devour. And in between, holding on to a rope, which is bitten by one white and black rats. So this is day and night. So then when that honey drop is coming to the tongue, one is thinking, after all, it's not a bad place. This is material existence. This is the delight, you understand? So everywhere there will be a little bit. And one can get hooked on to that. Ah, this is all right. Not bad. After all, it's not bad. It's worth. Let's go on with our material endeavor. So this is the material existence. This is avarnatmika. And then throwing also, prakshepatmika. Or beating. Okay, I think it's almost time, or it's over time. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.